found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Now, broadcasting
from the City of Angels,
Los Angeles.
You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
That's right, it's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show and to call and talk to us live, 818-602-4929. That's 818-602-4929. And as many of you know, who listened yesterday was my three-year anniversary here on LA Talk Radio and the three-year anniversary of the Sheena Metal Experience. So I'm kind of celebrating throughout the winter by not only showing you new fantastic guests that have never been on the show before, but also bringing back some of my favorite guests, some of your favorite guests, and some guests that, like my next guest, that are my favorites and yours. I don't know that how much there would be a Sheena Metal Experience without her. She's been amazing in promoting the show. She's a fantastic guest, one of my favorites, definitely the favorites of all of you listeners. She's an amazing director and writer and producer, an all-round creative person and humanist and advocate for everything spiritual and organic, and I love to have her on the show. She is the director of amazing films like Loving Annabelle and Waking Madison and the much-awaited Face to Face. Please welcome back to the Sheena Metal Experience. The wonderful Catherine Brooks joins us today. And Kat, it's so great to have you here on the show. And thanks. It means so much to me you're here this week.
Well, congratulations on your 3 years, girl.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you. And
thank you.
Deserve it. You know,
it seems like a blip, right? From the first time you were here, it doesn't seem like 3 years to me at all.
No, it's gone really fast. But that just goes to show how great you are, honey.
Thank you. Thank you, sweetie. And thank you because, you know, it's so important that people know that it's not just about me, that all the energy that all my wonderful guests bring into the show is every bit as important as me being here every day. And then I'm sure you will agree, the amazing energy from everyone who listens as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very collaborative. And also, I think props to you because you're just such a, you're kind of like how I love to be interviewed, just very free flow.
Right.
You know, we just go with the flow. We just talk about almost like we're just friends sitting down for coffee. And I think people really appreciate that because it's almost like they're getting to listen in on a real conversation. It's not scripted. It's not premeditated. And
right.
That's what makes it organic, you know?
Right. It's funny because when people will say, do you want to send me a list of questions or can I send you some questions to interview my client? And I say, well, you know, you can, but I don't want to know that much. I mean, it's different with you because you've done the show so many times that now I know you well enough that I know a lot about you. But with people that I'm just meeting, I don't even want to know that much. I just like the organic nature of the conversation comes out of what's just kind of happening. You say something, it makes me think about something, then that makes you think about something. And you're right, it's completely spontaneous. And I think that's the best kind of interview there is.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, you'll find, and you've probably been interviewed so many times, you can agree that you'll find that you do almost the same interview over and over again with people.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of the same questions, and you know, a lot of people will email me the questions, and I just won't even read them because I think that I never want my answers to be premeditated because you never know how you feel in the moment, and
right.
You want to be really honest to that moment.
Right. Right. And you're such a tremendous guest because you're okay to talk about anything. You're okay to discuss anything. You don't censor yourself in the sense that you're not always trying to kind of dummy down for people. I mean, you'll just honestly answer things the way that you feel. And you have this kind of wonderful attitude of people can either get on board with it, or if they're not getting on board with it, then that's okay. They'll get on board with the next thing. And I like that. That's the best kind of guest, is the kind that's not always so worried about, well, let me think for 30 seconds before I answer this question about, you know, who am I going to leave in the dark or who am I going to upset when I say this?
Right.
I love that you just answer.
Well, I think that's from so many years of working with celebrities and being behind the scenes of watching what really goes on with celebrities. I mean, everything is so premeditated and, you know, they are creating the image that they think the public will want to see to make them more successful.
Right.
And I just never wanted to fall into that after watching that for so long because it feels pretty disingenuous, you know, because you're talking about and saying the things that people want to hear.
Right.
And that's just, you know, I would rather be a little bit more raw and real, you know.
I think that's terrific. I agree. Now, do you think there's a line of what's too much? Because I've been talking a lot, especially with a couple people, and yesterday with my guest on my anniversary show about how, you know, the rules have really changed for celebrities. It used to be that if you wanted to be a very exclusive, elusive type of person and not answer questions, not really do interviews, you could still be very, very famous and do that. And that opportunity is becoming less and less as more celebrities kind of step out and say, okay, you love my work, now here's the real me. It's getting harder and harder to not do that. But then, you know, is there a line for you where you think, yeah, these are things I'm absolutely not discussing?
Well, I think a lot has changed for me in the last couple months. I had a couple stalker issues. And, you know, I started to really reflect, especially towards the end of the year. I don't know if you knew this, but my grandmother had passed away over the holidays.
I didn't know that. I'm so sorry, sweetie. I remember when she was on the show with us on her birthday.
I know.
Right? She was so lovely.
I was so fortunate to, you know, I flew in and spent the night at the hospital for 3 nights and, you know, was with her literally when she took her last breath. And it really changed and shifted so much inside of me. And I think anyone can relate to when
sure.
you lose someone. That's the closest person I've ever lost. And it really, it just changes you. It changes, it makes you reflect on your life, on your choices, how you spend your time. And I was thinking that, you know, I really questioned myself with, I've always put myself out there. You know, I've always been very open, very honest, very much myself. And I think what happens is that a lot of people really think that they know me.
Right.
And you know what? That's fine. I want people to feel connected, and I want people to, you know, what I'm passionate about, if it's something that they're passionate about, I think that's great. But when you get to the level, and I think that's why celebrities are a little bit more, because I've never thought of myself as a celebrity. When I think of celebrity, I think of, you know, Lady Gaga, Angelina Jolie, you know,
sure.
all these big, big superstars. But I feel like I got a small scale taste of that because there were a few people that it got very out of hand because I really think they felt like they were my close friends.
Right.
And so that scared me. And it made me really think about, well, what is appropriate to put out there to the public? How much do you want people to really know about you? Because the more they know about you, the more they feel that they know you, and the more they feel like they are privy to your life.
Absolutely.
And being involved in your life.
Sure.
And so I've kind of taken a step back in a way. And when I do interviews like us doing this interview, I'm going to always be honest with any question. I'm going to talk about anything. But
right.
I think it's more like personal videos and things like that I'm going to tone down on and just really focus on when I do my interviews, you know, talk about my work, talk about my beliefs, but maybe keep a little bit of my personal life a little bit more personal.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But then I'm still real and I'm still honest, but it's like I'm having a little bit of boundaries because it's scary when you have stalkers.
Oh, my God, it's completely scary.
It's not fun.
I had a stalker once who, when I was on the Stern station, the Howard Stern affiliate, and he, you know, started out as just this real nice, friendly fan that just wanted to bring me nice things. And it's always mm-hmm. when they bring you gifts, because only people that want to own you bring you gifts unless they're people you already know. So the gifts got nicer and nicer. And, you know, I'm a girl. I like gifts. And at one point, I was doing a weekly gig, a live gig, promoting my radio show. And I was trying more and more to kind of back away from a couple of fans that were starting to sort of, you know, my friends would come and see me perform, and then the fans would start talking to my friends, and then they would learn things about my private life that I wasn't so happy about. Because my thing is that everything I talk about on the air is public, and everything in my life is
right.
public, and I will answer any question an interviewer asks me, and I'm all good about that. But the things that are very private to me are like my family and my chosen family, my circle of friends,
right.
Where I live, stuff like that, because that's the only time I ever get away from being in the public. So, you know, closer and closer, these stalkers kind of moved, and then one in particular, and I was really trying to put some distance. And one night I went to go kind of close the door at the end of the gig, and I said, well, I'll see you next week. And he was like, no, I work here now. Well,
he
had gotten a job at this place that I worked by telling them that he was my ex-boyfriend, and they just bought it. And I thought, okay. And it really kind of ended with me having to not get a restraining order. But the first step of that is you have to tell somebody, if you don't back off, I'm going to get a restraining order. And I've never had to go that. And that really made me rethink a lot of stuff. And a lot of times it's just it's like an energetic pullback. Do you know what I mean? It's not even anything that you're doing so much as that you're just kind of turning your energy off a little bit.
Well, yeah, and it's also just an invasion of space, you know? I mean, this person showed up across the street from my house.
Yeah.
And had contacted every single person that I knew personally on Facebook.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, buddying up and being friends with them. And, you know, it's just scary when you're, you know, I live in New Orleans. I moved here to get away from L.A. and to start my production company. And I'm walking across the street to get a cup of coffee, and there this person is.
Right.
And it's like... And now this person is going to be moving to my city. And it's like restraining order time. Because the thing is I'm not going to live my life, you know, I'm not going to put myself in a box or hibernate myself just because these people have... The thing that's scary is the delusion.
Yeah.
People that are delusional are scary to me. They live in a fantasy world that I am not a part of that. Like, I am not on that level.
Right.
And delusion is quite, you know, it's psychologically intimidating because you just don't know what delusional people are capable of.
Well, I think that with you, from reading your tweets and reading what you post on Facebook and listening to how you speak when people call in to talk to you on the show... There's a real, like, there's a beautiful vulnerability about you. And I think that that most people wish that more people in their life were like that, you know, more open and kind of more gentle. And then also there's a very kind of nurturing thing about you. You know, you call everybody honey and you're certainly in face-to-face so nurturing with everybody. And I think that people that are lonely and a little off, that crave someone in their life to take care of them, and they're not getting it in their life. And then they go and they become a little obsessed with you, and then they see you being very sweet and genuine, and then they think, oh, well, she must be talking exactly right to me, and it's all must be about me.
Right.
And then it just gets a little crazy. And it's sad, but I think anybody who has been through this business and has dealt with a lot of people in that capacity, I think it just naturally happens.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I'm really glad that face-to-face is finished and I can get it out there, because I'm hoping that once people see this, it's going to really inspire people to really make those face-to-face connections with the people in their lives.
Right.
You know, the people, because I think that, you know, celebrities or public figures, of course we connect with them because they resonate, or they put off an energy that we connect with, you know, and that's what it is. It's not necessarily me. It's more of the values and the morals that I stand for that they connect with.
Right.
And what I am just trying to say is that there are so many things about me that people don't know, but I think it's great that the things that I do speak up about or that I stand for, that is what connects us. You know, it's not necessarily me as a human being. It's just sort of the message, you know, that connects us.
Well, and that's what I think people don't understand, is that when you, even if you're doing something very genuine, like doing an interview or doing a documentary or, you know, what I do every day, certainly this is me, but it's a professional version of me. I mean, if I was just kind of sitting on the air talking to you like how I just sit around in my underpants and talk to my cats, probably not everybody would be as interested in me as they are now.
Right.
So it's, you know,
exactly.
It's, you know, we polish and shine for a reason, because that's what we do. And I think sometimes people see the fallibility and the human idiosyncratic behavior in people they really know. And then they go on Facebook and they find a director, an actor, or a radio host that they like, or an athlete, and they don't ever see any of those foibles because they're not really seeing our real life. And they think, oh, well, this person is perfect compared to everybody that I know in my real life. Well, it's because, they don't,
Exactly. And I mean, I love the fans that I have, and I do feel like I do have a connection with them.
Oh, you
and
do,
there
yeah.
is a shared space and camaraderie there, which I don't discount at all. It's just when you take it to the level of inappropriate behavior, that's when it's not okay. But as far as interacting with fans and, you know, jumping on the bandwagon to get involved with the same sort of issues and things that mean something to us, then that's great. And that's what it should be about, you know?
Right. And that's the hard thing is that I think it's very natural when you've been through something like what you've been through to immediately pull back and say, okay, I'm not going to be that personal with people anymore. But the truth is that you don't want to lose that about you because it's so important for the world what you're doing. You just have to find a way to do it. But not let it, you know what I mean? Not let it get as close as it did before. Because I think that you, as a human being, do such good work every day, Kat, with the way that you tweet, the way that you put things on your Facebook page. I mean, you're really kind of, you know, giving people, you're like a little beacon of light that gives people inspiration when they're feeling maybe not so good about their life that they could, because you're very honest about saying, look, this sucked about my life and this sucked about my life and then I overcame it. And so that's so important that you've done that.
Yeah, and I'm not going to stop doing that. I mean, I think that what relates me a lot to my fans is that, you know, I've been very open with the struggles that I've had through my life and the hard things that I've been through and, you know, being honest about how I overcame them and what I do in my life to stay afloat. But I think what I really learned from, you know, being with my grandmother when she passed was I had to really take into account how much time I was spending on social media as opposed to how much time I was spending face-to-face with people because I imagine myself, you know, if I was on my deathbed, I know for a fact I would not be saying, I really wish I would have spent more time on the internet.
Right.
That's not a place where I'm going to be. And so what I've decided to do for 2012, which was one of my resolutions, which I've always stuck by my resolutions, is just cutting my social media in half.
Right.
You know, like yesterday was so great because, you know, I spent a little bit of time online and then I took my bike out and I just rode around the park with my dogs and I spent time outside and went and sat at the coffee shop and wrote in my journal. And, you know, there's just so many things out there that I believe I want to spend more time doing that social media was taking up way too much of my time. I mean, if I'm spending 75% of my day either texting or tweeting or Facebooking or, you know, doing things online, you know, that is a lot of time spent away from me being out in nature, being out with friends, exercising, you know, spending time alone, doing yoga, being with my animals, things that I feel like, you know, make me happier.
Right.
And I think that was last year why I made Face to Face was because I was spending too much time on the internet. I wasn't out in the sunshine. I wasn't out in nature. I was just in front of a computer screen all the time. And I think it was really draining me.
Yeah, I completely get that. You know, I have a tendency to become, I think we've talked about this before. I can be a little bit of a shut-in. I mean, I'm an only child.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time by myself. We moved a lot when I was a kid, so it was just my mom and me while my dad was working, and I wasn't around a lot of relatives. And so it's very easy for me to spend a lot of time by myself and be okay.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I sit in a box and talk by myself. So, and when I was doing, you know, topic talk for so long when I worked for CBS all those years, and I did a lot of late night radio, I mean, there were times when I wouldn't see anybody except my co-host and my producer and my screener, I mean, for weeks at a time. And I noticed when I would have to go to events for the station that I was a little funny around people because I wasn't around them. And you know, it's kind of like a use it or lose it. You start to kind of lose your people skills. So when I started this show and I started having so many people in here all the time, and I thought, you know, here's your opportunity now to really fight against that and to start connecting with people and on a regular basis. So I kind of do that now. If a guest comes in here and I have like a good connection with them, then I reach out a little bit, and or somebody says to me, hey, I had a great time, let's go have coffee. I follow up because I think it's important to foster relationships in your life. You know, you only get so many chances in your life to make good friends. And sometimes I think you let that slip by not following up with people.
Well, yeah, and also it's like if you're an artist especially, I mean, being outside, interacting with humans, I mean, on my journey when I met those 50 people for face-to-face, there were so many of them that had really bad anxiety disorders, really bad depression, and I asked each of them, like, how much time do you spend on social media? How much time do you exercise? How often do you get a hug? You know, how often? And, you know, I really do feel like too much time on the internet can cause a lot of anxiety. And I have already started to feel so much better now that I've cut it down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really feeling healthier and starting to do Pilates and going to the park every day. And I just am starting to feel happier and more lighthearted, and the depression is starting, that weight of depression is starting to kind of like get off me. Because the other thing about the internet that we have to be very careful of, and it's something that I'm starting to become aware of, is there's a lot of negativity on the internet, a lot of cyberbullying, and people can just really feel like they can just write whatever they want to say because they're not held accountable for it, because they're kind of discreetly behind closed doors, and they don't realize that actually the words that they say and the negativity that they promote online, whether it's tweeting or Facebooking, it does affect people. And, you know, if you're going to use Twitter, if you're going to use Facebook, why not use it to spread positive messages or spread causes that, you know, that you really love, and utilize it as a tool to make connections with people, but then take it a step further and actually go have coffee, or, you know, not just have it be one girl that I met has been best friends with someone for 9 years and they've never even met face to face. They just Skype, you know, and it's like, well, take that step and just, you know, meet them. And I think a lot of people, one girl that I met in particular that really struck me a lot, is she said that she spends all her time on Facebook and Twitter because it makes her feel safe, like she can't get hurt because she's protected. It's almost like it's a shield from having to actually go out and meet people and be with people. And, you know, that I just really hope that I can start using face-to-face and social media positivity is something that, you know, can promote it to get us doing more things besides the internet.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think that the internet is good for a lot of things, and it does give you a global perspective, and it enables you to meet people from other parts of the world that you may never have met. And for people in very small places, it allows them to be involved in more of a cultural arts scene or different kinds of communities that maybe there's not a lot of where they are. And I think that's great. But like anything, if you take it too far and to the extreme, and what makes me sad is I think it takes people that maybe have a tendency to isolate and allows them to isolate even more to the point where they sort of lose their social skills. And and it's scary to meet new people, especially if you're not used to it. You know, my social skills now from being here every day and guests coming in every day and going to events all the time. I mean, I feel like I can walk into any room with anybody and just be fine. And I don't even worry about people anymore. And I remember when that used to make me feel a little overwhelmed. So the more you're around it, the more you get used to it, I think. And the more you isolate, the harder it becomes.
Yeah, and that's the number one thing that you don't want to do if you have any sort of form of anxiety or depression. The number one thing you don't want to do is isolate. And, you know, that just perpetuates the cycle and makes it even worse. And, you know, I suffered from that so much before. I felt like I was kind of forced to go on the road and forced to meet all of these different people. And it just taught me that, you know what, there's so many good people out there there really are, but you have to take the chance to go ahead and meet them.
Right.
You know, you have to take the risk.
Right, right. Well, and you have to take time in your life to build a human support system. You know, some, I think for those of us that are very career driven, that have the tendency to not have a lot of extra free time, you kind of have to make the time mm-hmm. in your life to build your tribe, because it's
yeah.
important. It feeds you. You know, to me, it's as important as eating healthy or exercising. You know, you're feeding your emotional self with your soul pod and the people that should be around you. And I think that's so important.
Yeah. And you also have to, I mean, the one thing that's been a real changing factor in my life is, you know, spending time alone and
sure.
just really getting to know yourself and how you feel about things. Because, you know, I felt like I had become a slave to my phone. You know, I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is sort of reach for my phone. It's the last thing I would look at before I'd go to sleep. And there was never that downtime where I just sat with myself for maybe 30 minutes and just really thought about things or asked myself how I was feeling about things. I think a lot of us are missing that one-on-one time with ourselves, you know, just to evaluate what are our, you know, what are my goals? What are my dreams? What are, you know, the people in my life, evaluating that and just evaluating the life that I'm living and what I want and where I want to go. Because if you lose yourself and you lose that connection with yourself, I think you're kind of just kind of floundering around, and that can cause a real feeling of disconnection from people and from the world. And I think deep down, every single one of us wants to feel connected. You know, we want to feel like we're a part of something, but until we're a part of ourselves, that's not going to happen. You know, you got to have it in yourself before you can share it with anyone else.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think you're 100% right. And I think that it's very important, and it's important that we not let other things in our lives sort of get in the way of that. Like you said, become a slave to the phone or a slave to the laptop or a slave to, I have to finish this next project, and, oh, I know I should call my friends back, but I'm so obsessed with my project. I mean, look, we all get obsessed with our projects, and you don't have to explain that to me, and I don't have to explain that to you. But it takes 2 minutes to call a friend back and say, hi, I love you, I got your message. Oh my God, I'm so slammed, but let's find some time to talk. That's just, it's important. I mean, I can't
yeah.
even stress how important cultivating friendships has become in the last 3 or 4 years of my life.
Yeah, good friends are such a necessity. And I've also, there's this word that I'm loving to use right now, and it's called pause. I use the word pause a lot now because I was finding that whenever anything happened to me, like if ever a situation upset me or even great news that I got, you know, the first thing I wanted to do was text someone or tweet someone, or, and now I'm just saying that word pause. And just allowing myself to let it sink in,
nice.
To let the information sink into me before I'm giving it out so quickly,
right.
you know, and letting it absorb inside of me and seeing how I feel about it. I think we're in a society right now that is so reactory. I mean, you can see it on these social websites, how reactory we are to everything. We're so, our emotions are so heightened by everything because of the way that the world is right now. But I really, you know, I've always loved that Gandhi saying that be the change you want to see in the world.
Absolutely.
And that pause thing really helps me to kind of, if something happens, a situation happens, it's like taking that just 10 minutes, just the smallest amount of time to really ask myself, how am I feeling, and giving myself the space to feel it before I'm already sharing it, you know, on Twitter or texting a friend
right.
about it.
Isn't
you know?
That interesting how we come from opposite places? You have to pause and then take it in and then share it. And I have to remember that, okay, now you need to share this with people, because I tend to keep things very much to myself and just keep things and then think, okay, maybe somebody in your life might like to know this happened. Why don't you call somebody?
Right.
Is that interesting how we kind
right.
of come from different places, that I tend to kind of keep everything very introspective and not let people know what's going on. And I've learned
why
that.
Why do you think you do that?
I don't know. I think I just grew up very much by myself, taking things in myself. and and not wanting to be one of those people who was always like, look what I can do, look what I did. So I just kind of tend to always deal with things myself first before I share it with somebody else. And I think that's a good thing. But I have to remember to then go out and share it with somebody else, because other people in your life who love you want to know what's going on with you.
Right. Yeah, and I think it all comes down to, I mean, everything we're saying, it really comes down to balance.
Absolutely.
You know, everything in balance, whether it's food, whether it's exercise, whether it's social media, whether it's how often we go out with friends, how often we don't. Like, if we can just find the balance in our life to where everything, because I think if you tilt to one side, you're going to just, you know, basically just tilt over, you know,
right.
And really finding a balance in our lives with everything across the board.
Now, do you find it hard to, have you found it hard to keep your friendships from Los Angeles as you've moved to New Orleans? Because sometimes people say that it's difficult for them to keep friendships going once you're not in the same city anymore.
Well, I haven't really kept in touch with, and it's sad for me to say this after living in Los Angeles for 17 years, but I've hardly spoken to anyone that I was in contact with in LA. And I think that's mainly because I was such a workaholic that everything that I did, every meeting that I had was so based around work, you know? And when I really changed the kind of work I wanted to do, changed the kind of projects I wanted to work with, you know, those people just kind of disappeared. And, you know, I've been fortunate lately to have made some really beautiful, beautiful friendships that I feel like will carry on for, you know, hopefully ever, you know. And I don't know if that's just the nature of, I can't blame it on Los Angeles, but I have to say that Los Angeles does have a different vibration
sure.
frequency than the city that I live in now, which is much more, you know, grassroots and much more organic and raw, whereas LA is very more driven by, fame and getting ahead and money and materialism. And there were some beautiful things that I experienced in LA, but I found it quite interesting that people that I really thought were my friends just kind of dropped off the Richter scale once I had moved out of that city.
Yeah, that's hard. I mean, that is very hard. I mean, I've had, you know, my best friend moved to Austin last year, and then now she's in Cleveland, and we're on like a totally different time schedule because I work nights and she's 3 hours ahead, and it is hard. I mean, it's really hard to, when she was working nights and I was working nights, the 3 hour difference didn't even matter that much because, you know, me getting off
yeah.
at 7 was 10 o'clock her time and it was fine. But when schedules shift and we kind of have to, you know, arrange time to talk and spend time together, and that's a difficult thing. And not everybody wants to make that effort. A lot of people on the earth, sadly, are very out of sight, out of mind. If it's not right under my nose, then it's not important. And I know
yeah,
that I've...
Yeah, exactly. And I think if two people really care about each other and want to make the effort, then I think it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you'll make it happen.
I agree.
But I think it takes both people to make that effort.
I think that we're lucky that there are cell phones and there is texting and email because,
yes.
I mean, when I was a kid, we would move to another state and I would never see those kids again that were my friends. So now, you know, you can have a relationship with people that you don't live near and you can still keep your family relationships together and your friend relationships together. And that works really nice.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. And I think that technology also, you know, it is a great way to have a support system. You know, I can't deny that there have been times where I can remember being on the road this summer and having a complete breakdown in North Carolina. And I had said on my Facebook, I'm like, I'm having a complete breakdown. I'm going to do a vocal. And, you know, I had like 40 virtual friends come into the vocal session and we just had like a 2 hour crying fest. And that to me is a really positive aspect of social media. you know, that is very helpful and useful, because I think, you know, many times in a world this big and this fast and growing so rapidly, you can feel very lost and
yes.
very alone in the world. And I don't think there's anything harder than feeling alone or that nobody is there for you. And so if there are people out there that get that from, you know, things like Twitter or Facebook, then I think that's wonderful. But for me, I guess I'm just craving a lot more human interaction that's above and beyond the computer, you know, because it's just, I guess, the journey, you know, with face-to-face taught me how important it is to share, you know, a hug, or to be able to cry with someone, or to have someone look you in the eyes and say it's going to be okay, or to be there for someone and tell them it's going to be okay. Sometimes feels a lot more poignant than just typing that in a tweet, you know. It's a lot more real.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. And I think that's something, as technology takes over more of our lives, we as human beings are going to have to fight against more and more, is that the pull of getting sucked into the technological box and not having human contact and real three-dimensional contact with people. And I remember I had... I was talking to somebody, I had a guest on the show, and I don't remember for sure who it was, so I won't say because I don't remember for sure, talking about how she had done a part in a film that was done with a lot of CG, and they had basically been, they rehearsed through Skype, like everybody sat with their
yeah.
computers, and that's how they rehearsed from all different parts of the world. Now, part of that is really neat, and it's neat that you can do that, but then also part of that is kind of odd when you think about all of the creative contact and human contact that you get from rehearsing with people all in a room together. But there's just going to be more and more and more of that as time goes on. So we're going to have to, you know, find time to get our human contact where we can.
Well, yeah. And also, I mean, you have to think about, can I get spiritual for a minute?
Oh, absolutely. What, on this show? Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Well, I was thinking a lot about it the other day, that as human beings, you know, we are adaptable. We are an adaptable species. You know, we adapt to what we are surrounded by. And the more time, you know, the difference between a computer and a human is really only one thing. Humans feel, you know, machines do not feel. And what worries me is that if you have people spending, you know, because a car is a machine, a GPS is a machine, an ATM is a machine.
Absolutely, sure.
The internet is a machine. If we are spending all of our time on a machine, won't we adapt to that and become what we are surrounded by?
Right.
And when I was thinking about that, you know, I was really thinking that, you know, humanity is at a really fragile state right now. I mean, for me, it's like the thing about human connection and coming together as humans and having our emotions and our feelings, we don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose our soul and our feelings and our emotions, because the more time we do spend with machines, it's inevitable that we will adapt to them, that we will become more like a machine and we will become more unfeeling. And, you know, that's something that I know one day I'm going to make a movie about it, because it's something I'm very passionate about.
It's wonderful.
You know, if you look at the whole span of when man first started, when man first existed, I mean, we have adapted and evolved to how our society has evolved in itself.
Right.
And I don't know about you, but I don't want to evolve into a machine. I would like to keep my emotions, and I would like
yeah.
to keep my human form.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's interesting because, you know, they talk about how now that we're so conditioned to that 140 characters or less Twitter mode, that people now in conversations have become to started to speak less and less. I certainly haven't noticed that with myself, but I ramble on the air 15 hours a week. But that people, when they go to dinner or when they're at lunch or coffee, that they speak, they don't have as much to say because they're used to kind of Twitter, you know, to kind of honing down how much they say in each sentence because of Twitter. And that's interesting that we're actually culturally changing the way we speak to sort of fit what we do on technology. And we don't know how to say that much anymore because we're so used to condensing everything we say into a sentence or two that we don't know how to really speak past that. And that's actually, you know, changing our language as humans. And that's very interesting.
Yeah. And also I've been really enjoying, like, I'll go out to dinner by myself sometimes, or like I said, go to the coffee shop, and I'll just kind of look around and watch and listen to other conversations. And sometimes it's very interesting to just step back and be an observer about what's going on in our society. And I can remember being at the coffee house the other day, and it's almost every single table had a machine on the table with them, you know, whether it was their phone or they were like tweeting while being across the table from someone. But if you start to really look and observe around you, everyone is like doing something with their phone. They're looking at something on their phone. It's like I'll walk down the street and I don't take my phone with me, and I'll be trying to make eye contact with people or say hello or smile, and 90% of the time I can't because they're looking at their phone or their iPad,
right?
You know? And so it's pretty interesting to observe that.
It
you
is
know?
Interesting. Yeah, I like how you call them a machine. There's a machine. A machine is on the table. But, you know, I take my phone everywhere for safety. I never go anywhere without my phone. But when I have lunch or dinner with somebody, I put it in my purse. I don't really understand,
yes,
like why you have to be on your phone while you're having dinner with a friend. I've never understood that. Or it's like, remember when we were kids and you would see the people come in and they would go to have breakfast, then they would both pull out the newspaper and put it in front of their face and they would read the, yes, newspaper while they ate. And I thought, why are you in a restaurant having dinner together? You could sit at home and read the newspaper. But I think this is kind of like the new generation of that. Like, well, we're out having dinner, but we don't really have anything to say to each other. So we're just in our own little world. And that's kind of depressing.
Yeah, it is. But it's, you know, I really feel like, you know, it's interesting, the whole Mayan 2012 thing. It's like, I'm hoping that the end of the world is sort of a metaphor for humans coming back into connection with each other and not experiencing an Atlantis all over again.
Right. Right. Well, exactly. Yes. And I'm just kind of starting to get my poop in a group. So I really hope that the world's not ending this year. If the world was going to end, I wish it had happened more like in 2007 when I had less of my stuff together.
Yeah. Well, I think 2012, I feel really positive that 2012 is going to be a really great year. I mean, 2011, just for me personally, and I know a lot of people around me, there were some major challenges that came up.
For me,
you know,
too.
And I do feel always that, you know, when challenges happen, that there's always good that comes out of it. It just takes a little while to see, you know, the results of that. And I just feel really confident about 2012, that there's going to be some really beautiful changes and shifts in the way that the world is going. I feel really positive about it.
Yeah, I do too. We have to take a quick break, then we'll be right back with the wonderful Catherine Brooks. It's the Sheena Metal Experience, LA Talk Radio. Quick break. We're right back with you right after with much more radio fun and talk.
Discovering Sheena Metal.
Continue to consider the source.
You've just found the home of irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio.
Just in time for the holidays. Laugh Out Loud 5, a one-night-only, sold-out night of comedy, now available on DVD. This 90-minute show features 9 of the funniest, nicest, and naughtiest comics anywhere. And there's extras. 100% of the proceeds go to benefit LGBT youth. To order your tax-deductible funny for the holidays, go to lagaycenter.org/LOL5.
Sandra Pillar's new album is Days Like These, featuring the hits I Cross That Bridge, the title track, and Fixin' to Fall.
Fixin' to Fall.
Sandra Piller has 12 heartfelt songs on Days Like These, her third album. Don't miss Sandra Piller's Days Like These from Shady Hill Records. You can find it now on iTunes and Amazon. Enjoy Days Like These from Sandra Piller. Every Thursday night, Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville. LA Talk Radio's Sheena Metal presents Carneyville at the Other Door Bar in NoHo. Great live bands, Carney games, circus performers, food trucks, full bar, drink specials, and a whole big party with guys, gals, and great live bands on stage at the Other Door, the nightclub in NoHo. The Other Door is at 10437 Burbank Boulevard, just east of Cahuenga. Carneyville starts at 8 p.m. Cover is just $5. Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville every Thursday night at the Other Door Bar in NoHo.
Your period is a vital sign. If you are a woman under 40 and your period has stopped or is irregular, you may have a condition known as premature ovarian failure, or POF. Other symptoms of POF include infertility, hot flashes, and fatigue. If you have any of these symptoms or know someone who does, please visit our website for more information at www.pofsupport.org. Remember, your period is a vital sign.
Brought to you by the International Premature Ovarian Failure Association.
LATalkRadio.com isn't just an internet address. It's the home of irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk. We say what we want. You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com and sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show. The wonderful Catherine Brooks joins us all this hour, and we're talking about, well, as per normal for us, Kat, everything under the sun and more. That's kind of just what we do.
We got to talk about the Shorty Awards.
Let's do it.
I'm really tired of boy directors always winning the awards.
Okay.
Because the short, and I nominated you, so everybody's got to go and vote for you for radio.
Okay,
I'm up for a Shorty Award for director, and I'm in third place right now. And of course, there's boys all around me. And you know, the thing is, it's like it's not like I'm like, oh, I want to win a Shorty Award so I can have like a plaque on my shelf. It's like I want to win it because girls. Hardly directors. I mean, there's only 4% of us in the DGA. I want to win it because we need to promote more chick directors.
I agree.
You know, like there needs to be more female directors, period. So all of our tweeters need to go vote for us.
I like that.
And in radio, you're the same thing. There's a lot of boys in radio.
Yeah, I think there's only like, you know, there's basically like just 4 chicks in radio in the whole country, I think. That's just me and, it's true. Radio's terrible. Yeah, there's hardly any women in radio at all.
Okay, well then you and I need to form together.
Okay.
And you in radio, me in the director category, and we got to get a Shorty Award.
Okay, we're going to put our promo heads together on this.
Yes, the voting ends February 17th, because wouldn't it be great if you and I are in New York together getting our Shorty Award
nice.
Representing the chick radio
I'm
and
in.
Chick director.
I'm totally in. Nice. I am totally in for that. I hadn't even thought about the Shorty Awards, and thank you so much for nominating me. That's wonderful. And I can't believe that you don't have like all the Shorty Awards, because you're almost sort of the queen of things that move through the internet and social media. I mean, for everything we've said this hour about it, I mean, you're really a rock star at it.
You know, someone nominated me as a non-human. I'm very excited about that one.
Oh, there's an award for non-humans? Or did they nominate you as a machine?
There's an award for non-human. I have been nominated for non-human, and I have no idea why someone nominated me as a singer, because I sing like a cat. I mean, it's just that does not need to happen. So.
But didn't you sing a little bit in Face to Face?
I do, but I like I said, I'm not a good singer, and there's just no way that is ever going to happen. So they just need to just focus on the director and non-human. I'll be fine with those two. too.
But isn't that neat that your singing moved someone? And isn't that such an odd thing? You know, I don't think I have a very good voice, yet I sing because I want to torture humanity. And I am always so surprised when somebody says, I just love your voice. And I want to say, are you kidding me? But I don't want to say that because that's not nice. But so, you know what I mean? One man's squealing cat is another woman's voice of an angel.
Exactly.
So I think that's fantastic. But I'm a little more curious about the non-human category. Who are you up against in that category?
You know, I'm not sure. I haven't checked out the non-human. I just recently saw it. But I don't know. Maybe it's because I had said something about being an alien or feeling like an alien.
Oh.
So maybe someone thinks that I'm from another planet, which I probably am. I'm so crazy. But I would feel very honored to be a director or a non-human Shorty winner.
Nice. But now I want to win solely because, Kat, when we go to New York to pick up our awards, don't you want to know who's going to be sitting at the non-human table?
Absolutely.
That is just
the conversation. That's a whole nother documentary right there.
Is the non-human winner coming to New York to pick up its award? That's what I'm excited to see who that is.
I don't know, but if I get it, I'm going to totally dress in an... I'll just go in an egg like Lady Gaga did. I think Lady
awesome.
Gaga needs to be in the non-human category as well.
Yeah, Lady Gaga feels like she doesn't have all of her toes here in the three-dimensional world. And I say that with all respect as an Irishman, and that's a high compliment. I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all.
Oh, no, I think she was sent here from... I think Stephanie sacrificed her life, and down came Lady Gaga to save the world.
Right.
To save all of the of us gays, so...
But you know what? Is that such a bad thing? And, okay, now I'm going to get not only spiritual cat, but I'm going to get way out there. Do you think that sometimes human beings may have a little something else that rides along? And sometimes that can be a good thing, and sometimes it can be a not so good thing. Or sometimes, maybe, like you said, somebody kind of takes a step away and somebody else kind of comes in for the ride.
I call it, there's actually a term for it, and I believe in it wholeheartedly. It's called a walk-in.
Absolutely.
And if you think of your body like a house, and your soul is the renter of the house. And I'm going to use Lady Gaga as an example, right? We have this girl, Stephanie, who's trying to make it as a singer, right? And she's not making it as a singer. And she goes to Virginia and has a complete breakdown to her grandmother saying that she's going to give up. And she basically sacrifices her identity, and another energy comes into her body, morphs her into this new person, who is basically the energy that's, I think, parallel. Her messages are very similar to Gandhi, to Buddha, all about equality and unconditional love. So she is very much what I consider a walk-in.
Right.
You know? So I believe that totally. I believe in spirit guides and angels.
Sure.
And I do believe that you can come to a point in your life where you can basically say to the universe, say to God, you know what? I give up my life for a higher purpose. Take it, do something good with it, use it, because I sure as heck ain't doing a good job with it. Absolutely believe that 100%.
Well,
I think that
we all should be giving up our lives for a higher purpose. I mean, maybe that's just my idealism, but don't you? I mean, I think that we all should feel very much that we're in service to the universe and that we're doing everything that we can for the collective whole and not just for our little tiny speck of the collective whole. I mean, I think that I've realized as I've kind of gotten more seated in that the last however many 5 years of my life, that people really do break down into kind of two categories. People that, I know we've talked about this before, people that think of themselves as a piece of the whole and people that just think of themselves. And you can very definitely feel the breakdown when you get very into sort of becoming of service to the universe. You can really feel people that aren't.
I 100%. I mean, every night before I go to bed and I'm hugging my dogs, I always say out loud, please use my life for something good.
Yeah.
Please use my life for something better. Because the thing is that I had 34 years of experience of looking out for just me. Oh, I want to be rich. I want to be famous. I want to be successful. I want to do this. I want to do that. I.
Yeah, sure.
And that got me to the point of taking 57 pills and almost dying, which really changes your perspective to say, you know what, for those 34 years, I had it wrong. You know, the real purpose of life is of being of service and of saying, what can I do to better the world around me? What choices can I make? And it's kind of just letting go. It's letting go of our ego, and it's just allowing something bigger and greater, whether it's people who are Christians, whether it's Christ or Buddhist, who it's Buddha, is allowing that energy of Christ or Buddha or the Dalai Lama, whoever it is, to come in and work through you and use your body as an instrument to do better things.
I completely agree. I think that's very much true. And I think it's almost like, you know, like being seated, like when you're really locked into something. And I think that for a lot of us, we think we are, but I always use the analogy. It's sort of like, you know, when you go to plug the vacuum cleaner in, but it's not plugged in all the way. It's kind of half plugged in and half not plugged in. And you may think it's plugged in, but that you can't figure out why the vacuum cleaner starts and stops all the time. And I think we're trying to get there, but we're starting and stopping. We have times where we're very connected. Then we have times where we fall back into that lowest common denominator of me. And then we have times where we're connected again. And when you really kind of get connected and that connection is in and it's done, I think you find that your life runs so much better than it did when you were so worried about running your life. I mean, at least that's been the experience with my life. When I stopped worrying about running my life started running a lot better.
Oh my God, it's stopped driving the bus.
Yeah.
You know, let your higher power drive. Life is so easy when you stop trying to make your life work.
Right.
It's so easy. You just let it happen and you don't try to control it. And when we stop trying to make things happen and we stop worrying, because if you look back on your life, all the bad things that happen, something great eventually came out of it.
Absolutely.
And when you learn to, I think we all just need to trust that
yes.
There is something out there that's looking out for us, and we will be okay.
I completely agree. It's like when you learn to swim. It's so terrifying when you're little. You think, I can't believe that somebody actually puts their head under the water on purpose. And it just seems like the most terrifying thing. But once you get used to it and you learn to do it and you realize that you're not going to die and that you can pull your head up anytime you want, it becomes the easiest thing. And then you kind of look back and think, why was I so scared of this? I remember I went to the little mommy and me class at the Y with my mom when I was little. And when we used to have to put our face in the water, I was just petrified of it. And by the time I was, you know, maybe 3 years old, I was swimming like a seal. And I remember thinking, why was I so worried about this? This is the easiest thing in the world. And that was kind of the struggle too, was sort of letting the control go of my life. It was something that I was so panicked over. And once I finally did it, I thought, God, why didn't I do this 20 years ago? This is awesome.
Yeah, and I think that we all have our paths, no matter where we are going to all end up in that same place. I think we all have the seed planted in us to be of that, to have the ability to let go. And that's why you can't be hard on yourself, because we've all struggled with it. And it's never perfect, and it's something that you have to work with all the time. But I think once you feel it, and like you said, once you're really plugged in and you really do let go, you're not going to really fight with it anymore. You're just going to coast. I just remember having this vision once of being in the middle of the ocean, and I was dog paddling, and there was no land around me, and I was getting so tired, and I kept hearing this voice say, stop paddling. And I was like, well, I don't want to stop paddling because I'll drown, you know? So I keep paddling and I'm exhausted. And then I just heard that voice again that just said, just relax and let the current carry you. You know, you're not going to drown.
Right.
You just have to let it take you, and
right,
it's going to take you to good places.
I agree. And even the things that are hard, like you said, you look back on them and you think, oh, that's why it was important I went through that. That's why it's important that that happened. That's why it's important that I felt that. It's all for a purpose. Even the things that hurt or are frustrating or make you angry, when you look back at them in hindsight, there was a reason for all of it.
There's always a reason for it. And that's why, even when bad things happen to me now, I try to bless it because I know that something great is going to come out of it. I really do. And I think the more you trust that, the more you can accept those bad things as just little, you can make it a little stumbling rock or you can make it a mountain. That's your choice. But now when difficult things happen, I just kind of look at it and I'm like, eh, something good's going to come out of it.
Right.
And then it doesn't even faze me.
Right. Or I try to think of now, what? How can I make this something positive? And it almost becomes a challenge to, you know, what kind of a good thing can I make come out of this? And usually you can find a neat way where you can make yourself feel better and then everybody feels better. And then it becomes, I mean, it's, you know, that old adage of making the lemonade out of the lemons, but it really is true.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so where can people go to vote for you for the Shorty Awards? Because we need to make sure that you get a Shorty for definitely directing, maybe singing, and for sure for Non-Human.
Non-Human. ShortyAwards.com. And then my Twitter is just at @thecatbrooks, and I have it all over there, so it makes it really easy. So I would just go to my Twitter, at @thecatbrooks.
Super. And you're going to come back and see me soon, and we're going to talk all about face-to-face, because the big news is, right, that you just locked picture today for face-to-face.
Yes, it's been sent out to the festivals, and, you know, 2012 is all about me touring around the United States and the world with it and having fun and spreading the message and going to screenings. So it's going to be a fun year.
That's wonderful. And when you come to L.A., then we're going to go have coffee and be face-to-face friends.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay, good, good. Because we're going to practice what we preach and not just be Skype each other until we're 105.
No.
Okay.
No. Face-to-face,
all right.
Okay,
good. Thank you so much for being here, sweetie. I can't wait to have you back on the show. And thank you so much for everything you've done to help this little radio show over the last 3 years. I really appreciate it.
You got it, girl. Bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. The wonderful Kat Brooks. And if you want more information on her, just go to SheenaMetalExperience.com or LATalkRadio.com. Send me an email, and I will gladly forward the links for Catherine over to you. It's the Sheena Metal Experience on LA Talk Radio. Kick break, and we're right back with you with much more radio fun.
Discovering Sheena Metal.
For God's sakes, do as I say and not as I do.
Back by popular demand, one of New York City's favorite rock bands, Joe Steele, brings their unique brand of heavy metal mayhem to the West Coast with the release of their new CD, Rock Hard or Die.
Rock Hard or Die!
To see where you can purchase Rock Hard or Die, or for upcoming tour dates, visit JoeSteeleRocks.com. Remember to request Joe Steele Rock Hard or Die at your local music retail store. Rock Hard or Die at JoeSteeleRocks.com.
Why do I take comfort in misery? Put on a
she may be young and beautiful, but life can suck even for her. You've been in love, right? Critically acclaimed singer-songwriter Brittany Elizabeth reveals it all in her authentic and powerful CD, Breathe In, now available on Desert Sunrise Records. See, hear, and buy Brittany Elizabeth at BrittanyElizabeth.com.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
Well, you know, that's what heathens do, Karen.
Hey guys, Danielle Agnew here. You know, we talk a lot about psychic phenomena on this show, especially being as that, well, you know, I'm a psychic. But let me tell you guys, there's a lot of people out there who claim to be psychic, and they're not. I invite each and every one of you to head over to my personal website, www.danielleagnew-advisor.com. Before seeking spiritual counsel from anyone, make sure you do your homework. Remember, a psychic is only as good as their intention.
You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal.
I never believed in ghosts. I always kind of wondered, oh, there's got to be some explanation, you know, until now.
Recent Gallup polls show that 90% of Americans have either experienced some paranormal activity or believe it exists.
You have to be very careful on what you're tampering with.
Their shadow passed between the boards and the window. Did you see that?
Fear grabs us all.
Montgomery House, The Perfect Haunting. Available on DVD at montgomeryhousehaunting.com.
Just in time for the holidays. Laugh Out Loud 5. A one-night-only, sold-out night of comedy, now available on DVD. This 90-minute show features 9 of the funniest, nicest, and naughtiest comics anywhere. And there's extras. 100% of the proceeds go to benefit LGBT youth. To order your tax-deductible funny for the holidays, go to lagaycenter.org/LOL5.
Sandra Pillar's new album is Days Like These, featuring the hits I Cross That Bridge, the title track, and Fixin' to Fall.
Fixin' to Fall.
Sandra Pillar has 12 heartfelt songs on Days Like These, her third album. Don't miss Sandra Pillar's Days Like These from Shady Hill Records. You can find it now on iTunes and Amazon. Enjoy Days Like These from Sandra Pillar. Every Thursday night, Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville. LA Talk Radio's Sheena Metal presents Carneyville at the Other Door Bar in NoHo. Great live bands, carny games, circus performers, food trucks, full bar, drink specials, and a whole big party with guys, gals, and great live bands on stage at the Other Door, the nightclub in NoHo. The Other Door is at 10437 Burbank Boulevard, just east of Cahuenga. Carneyville starts at 8 p.m. Cover is just $5. Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville every Thursday night at the Other Door Bar in NoHo.
I'm glad that you don't know.
Scott Joss and Doug Colosio, two members of Merle Haggard's band, have released their first album called A Couple of Strangers.
Yeah, my voodoo woman's calling out to me.
Scott Joss and Doug Colosio on iTunes from Colosio Publishing.
So don't bother knocking, come on in, the party's rocking, I wonder if I do.
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal. Only on LA Talk Radio.
It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com, sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show. And as I said at the beginning of the show, it is my 3-year anniversary week, so I'm bringing back a lot of my favorite guests from 2009, 2010, and 2011. And this guest is certainly no exception. He is a very, very talented creator, director, producer, and also the head of the new Anthus channel, which is going to be launched in a few months, and the social media network part of it is already launched. And it's not only about bringing good quality programming into your living rooms and onto your laptops, but also about the intent behind it and making programming for a better world. Welcome, please, the wonderful Charles Ailman to the show. It's so great to have you here, Charles. Thanks for being here with me.
Thank you. I love coming and seeing you.
So nice. Now, for people that maybe are catching you on the show today for the first time and haven't gone yet to listen to the archive of your last interview, just really quick, give everybody just sort of the mission statement of Anthus, of the Anthus channel.
Sure. Anthus channel is really a social network television station with all the ancillaries of radio and everything else that is about a social shift, specifically with social cause, philanthropy, health and wellness, and positivity. All the things that are lacking in modern media, you know, with the networks and broadcasters and cable channels, they seem to bombard us with negative news, negative information, horrible programming. We can't leave our children in front of our TVs anymore. God knows it's going to eat them and suck them in.
Right.
And it's driving me nuts. I have a 13-year-old son. And it just got to a point in my life where I had to really assess what I wanted to do as a filmmaker, as a creator, but more importantly, what I wanted to leave behind if I was going to make my imprint. And so we launched the Anthus Network, the Anthus Channel, which is all about changing our perspective, not only of the world, but most importantly, we have to change the perspective on ourselves.
Right.
And we have to do it inside out, because we have to help ourselves before we can help other people.
Well, and it's interesting, and I know there are no accidents, and I do believe that, but it's interesting that we met during kind of a shift for me, because the last 3, 4, 5 years of my life, especially the last 3 since I started this show here 3 years ago on LA Talk Radio, has very much been a metamorphic shift of, you know, I almost quit being an entertainer because I worked for CBS for many years and it was a wonderful job, but I saw how energetically I didn't fit with a lot of that sort of, you know, do what you can to make a buck, do what you need to get this. And I'm all about making money. It's not that I don't think people should make a living, because I do. But I realized that there was a kind of show that I wanted to do, and it was not a possibility on a lot of different stations. And that's why it was such a blessing for me to come here and realize that all the shows that every program director said, no one wants to listen to that. I heard it's too heady, it's too intense, it's too out there. Nobody cares what people think. Nobody wants to hear about people's heart and their heart projects. Well, it was all ridiculous because the show gets amazing numbers and they were all wrong. People do care about people's hearts and souls.
And our shifts are very symbiotic in that sense, because I went through the same type of, you know, metamorphosis after I directed my last feature. I kind of came out and I had done all the right things. I played all the cards right. I got all the right people. We did the right project, and just the industry collapsed on itself. And I kind of really had to take an assessment back and ask, what is it that I want to do? I love film. I love television. I love making things. But there was a point when you had to really say, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to me as a human being? And not just, what does it mean to Chuck Adelman? What does it, you know, what does it mean to Sheena Metal?
Right.
We have to assess ourselves as a global wealth of humanity. And
so true.
The internet has connected us in a global sentiment.
Yes.
And when we actually stop and really think about the power of that, look at the power of what this has done in Egypt. Look at the power of what we've done in Wall Street and everything else. People control the world.
Right.
The world shouldn't control us.
Yes.
And so once we start creating conscious living broadcasting, conscious living programming that comes from us, not from broadcasters, not from corporations, not from Walmart, not from McDonald's. There's a point when we have to actually stand up and say, it's time.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
I agree. And I think if we don't move through that, the condition of where the world is going to be in 10 years even kind of scares me. I mean, if you look at, I do a show here on Monday nights about politics, and my co-host and I talk all the time about if a major shift doesn't happen, we're all going to destroy each other by not getting out of the same patterns that aren't working. We need to start looking at things from a new way. And there's no reason that everybody still can't make money, be successful. There will still be an entertainment business. There will still be governments. There will still, we just need to find a different way to look at everything.
We have been avoiding what is true wealth. True wealth is, we have not obtained it. I mean, some people have, Steve Jobs and everything else, but even you know, people like Jobs and other pioneers, visionaries,
sure.
you have to actually look at who you are, because once you actually do what you love doing, the wealth is going to come to you. It will come in droves. You just have to accept it and do what you love and follow that passion. But most importantly, you have to work your ass off at it and follow through.
Yeah,
because most people go, well, you know, after The Secret, it told me I can do what I want to do. And it's like, after this, I can do what I want to do. It's like, you can, but you have to really understand what your path is.
Right.
So.
Well, what a lot of people picked up from The Secret that I think was only half the secret, Charles, was that, oh, well, if I just sit around and think about brand new roller skates, then I'm going to get them. Well, it's all nice to manifest, and I believe in the power of positive thinking and manifesting as well, and certainly I do a lot of that in my life. But it's also about, what am I giving back to the world? What have I done today that the world would gift me with those beautiful roller skates? What am I putting in to expect to get something out? It's not just you just sit around and go, want, 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 want. That's as bad as people that only pray to God when they want something. I never pray unless I'm in trouble. Well, that's a nice energy signature to send to the world.
And it's need versus desire.
Sure.
At the end of the day, we have to look at what we truly need, not only as humans, but as individuals.
Sure.
And then what we want. And we confuse those two things. We always say, I want this, I want that. I've taken the word want completely out of my vocabulary, because there's millions of things I could possibly want.
Sure.
But there's only so many things I need.
I agree.
And once we start living as humans with purpose and need, we will start to actually understand what our purpose is in this life.
And once you start doing that, I don't even want that stuff anymore.
I couldn't agree more.
Now I think, I mean, I've become like that kind of scary person that what I want is for everyone to smile.
Absolutely.
I'm like, oh, I've become that crazy lady.
I think we're the same person.
I just want everyone to give each other a hug and have a smile. Because I would much rather that the climate, the emotional and spiritual climate of our world gets sunnier than that I need like an iPad.
Absolutely.
I mean, when you really sit down and compare what you need, you know, I don't really, I have a lovely laptop. I don't really need a new one, but it would be nice if I would turn on, say, a political show and see something that seemed like positive progress.
And for us, we're actually in probably the most fortunate age of humanity to where we have social media.
Right.
Social media is our it's, I don't want to call it our savior, but it is a way for us to truly connect, find out who other people are, and find out who we are. And there's a lot of companies that are trying to create Twitters and things like that, but we actually just are partnering with another company called Way In. And if you go to wayin.com, actually Scott McNeely, who, you know, helped found Sun Microsystems and a few partners, started this company that really tests real-time information and feedback from people. And actually, I would love, sometime tonight, I would love to do some tests on that, because we have partners like Dole Foods and another company called Reactor Watches. And we did, actually, if you go to weighin.com/Anthus, A-N-T-H-U-S, you can do a little thing. We actually put a thing on there, said, what is your goal in 2012? You know, is it wellness? Is it positivity? Is it social cause? And any of you who want to go there right now and test it, you know, we also have a few things with like Dole. Like Dole is actually a great partner of ours. They're really creating phenomenal, you know, products beyond just natural foods. They actually have a vitamin D powder they've come out with, which is based just off of portobello mushrooms. And the number, and there's a huge deficiency in athletes. And so if you go to weigh in, if you go to weighin.com/anthus, you can weigh in and figure out what the biggest deficiency in athletes is. So for groups like us, people who do radio and media, This is a whole different way to have people literally weigh in on what they're thinking, what you're doing. And it's instead of twittering, oh, John is this and I'm this and having 50 different people, this actually creates a synergy between people's responses.
Well, and don't you think that that's going to turn out to be not only the next wave of the internet, but the real purpose behind the internet is the fact that it's bringing us all together globally in real time as participants in one world at the same time.
You've said it, and it is. We are participants. Even us creating a network, we're just as much as fans as the fans.
Sure.
And we live and breathe what we preach. I mean, we live and breathe health, wellness, positivity, social cause. And I don't expect the world to do that. What we're trying to do, and I've always believed this, is you have the granola people on one side, the ultra freakish vegan-ish world, which I have a lot of close friends.
Sure.
And then you've got the meat eaters and everybody else. And for us, we're actually the bridge in the middle.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I still live both worlds. My wife still lives both worlds. And we're not saying we have the answer. Anybody who comes out and says, this is definite, this is what it is, science moves and fails quicker than it can actually create progress. And so we don't have the answers, but let's find them together.
But don't you think also that we're learning now through the radical dissidence in climate between two very definite halves of our country that just because all your clothes are made of hemp and you eat vegan doesn't make you a nice person who cares about the world. You could still be the person who would, you know, run over a child to get that parking space at the vegan restaurant.
It's so true.
And I, somewhere along the line, got very fed up with that kind of hypocrisy coming from my own part of the world, as I'm fed up with the hypocrisy coming from the part of the world that isn't mine. And I thought, you know, there's some very not nice hippies, too. And it all started to become about judging an individual person based on the quality of them. And not based on, you know, I mean, I have friends that vote all different ways. I have friends that live all different ways. But I have friends who are interested in the world as a whole. And, you know, you have a right to feel however you want politically. You have a right to feel however you want socially. But you have to think of yourself as a citizen of the universe and realize that you need to put into the world. And I think for a long time we bought into that. Well, you know, if you drive a hybrid and you don't eat animals, then you're fantastic. Well, a lot of times people sort of put that on as a costume. But they're not really walking the walk of being a citizen of the universe.
Well, there's one fact. We are all a population of the planet Earth. No matter how we strike it or slice it into continents or how the
little
luck
boxes
changed us through evolution and put us in the U.S. or through families migrating, at the end of the day, there is nothing. We are, I don't care if you're black, Hispanic, Jewish, like, I mean, we are all the same. We are all human, and we have micro differences between us.
Yes.
And we have created such a macro perspective on how we see each other, yet we're all the same.
Yeah.
And the problem is especially now, and you said it with the political climate, the left and the right fighting each other, and liberals versus conservatives, and it's all junk. It's all perception. And we've created such a wall. I mean, Pink Floyd said it way back in the day, and they were trying to warn, hey guys, we are just a brick in the wall. Let's not do this.
It's so true.
And we're doing it again.
No matter how important you think you are in the world, you just count as one. So do your thing as one.
Absolutely.
And do the best thing you could do. And if we all just did our best thing as one, the world would exponentially grow by the millionth power in 5 minutes.
We are all made of electromagnetic energy.
It's true.
And we repel and we attract. And positive energy is positive energy. Negative energy is negative energy. Forget the ethereal view of this. They're science facts. And as we project positive energy, you attract positive energy. Like meets like. And as you propel negative, you're going to do the same. And the problem is we have become such in almost like our own psychosis. We create our own damage and then carry that damage in perspective on other people. And most people don't understand and realize that they're doing it because the media feeds them, gets them ramped up. And, oh my God, you got to be mad because you're mad at Kim Kardashian or you're mad at this right. And the world is this. And it's like you almost sometimes have to put blinders on and say, this is what I want to do. I don't care what hits me.
Right.
This is who I am.
And you have to let stuff go. You know, if Kim Kardashian has $1 billion and she wants to have a $1 billion wedding and then get divorced the next day, you know, that's her business. That has nothing to do with me. If she wants to do that and then, you know, she thinks that's a good way to put her money into the world, well, you know, at least there's a happy caterer and a wedding planner smiling. You know, at least she's hiring people and some people got jobs out of it.
Absolutely.
But seriously, we spend so much time worrying about what we think is wrong, what we think should be changed, instead of just changing ourselves and our own lives. And I'm more worried about getting my own poop in a group than I'm worried about what any Kardashians are doing.
You've said it. And I've gone through that journey in my life, and especially online. You know, the wealth of the web is also a big black hole.
Sure.
Because there's so much information. So, that's really another reason we launched Anthos, is to consolidate, I don't want to call it all the positive, but all the wellness, the positivity, social cause in a bubble. Because you almost have to live in that bubble for a little bit to repair yourself.
Right.
It's almost like being in a hospital. But in this case, it's a spiritual world. And if we can surround ourselves with, you know, 100 million other people
right.
that live, breathe, and think this way, most people do. I would say really 90% of the world, if they really had the choice, if you were taken out of Muslim society, if you were taken out of any of the confines of what you're taught and the people who are, you know, over you, most people want this. It's an innate human quality. But we're so ripped apart that we never have that option. We have that option now. And that's really what we're trying to do at Anthos, is to create that bridge, this moral, you know, psychological, you know, interpersonal way for us to have programming, blogs, communication like
sure.
you do on the show, and have an open conversation for once. Literally an open conversation. It's the weirdest thing to say that, and people go, "Why? I have an open conversation all the time." Stop and think about what that means. What is an open conversation? It's you being completely open with who you are,
right.
not with who people think you are.
Right. No, I think that's beautiful. Well, I like the idea that you're thinking with Anthos in a global way that incorporates what we now think of as television, radio, blogging, forum boards, all as just one thing. Because I think as our world evolves and becomes more internet-centric, as I think it will more and more, the lines between what is radio and what is television, the lines between what is a film and what is television, the lines between what is a podcast and what is radio, what is a vlog and what is a web series, they're all beginning to blur.
Agreed.
And we're getting rid of all these old school labels that you and I know from being in this business our whole lives. Those were like little walls we were always butting our heads against. Oh, you can't do a TV show where every episode's 5 minutes. It has to be, either has to be 30 or it has to be 60. And a movie has to be 90 or it has to be 145 or it has to be 2. And if it's over 2, you better be Steven Spielberg or Kevin Costner. And it's never going to happen. And you can't do this. And if you're on the radio, you have to do this. But you can't do this if you're on the radio. And now everybody's like, whatever.
That's
just
right.
Create content.
That's right. And Hollywood has used that tool to diminish the true creative quality of all these
sure.
up-and-coming artists.
Right.
In the radio industry, in the music industry, in the film industry. I mean, I came out of USC in 97, and you know, I thought I was Spielberg. I thought I was going to do all these movies. I was on top of the world.
Sure.
And then I had 8 scripts. I had great agents, and I went and met with every celebrity and producer you can imagine, and it became very clear that Hollywood wasn't the Hollywood that you saw in the movies.
Absolutely.
It was absolutely the opposite of that. And I got sad about it because
yeah,
I said,
too.
What just happened? I feel like it's like getting dropped kicked with your dream. You know, your dream dropped kicks you, you know there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And you have to really assess and you go, well, who am I now? Because I did everything in my life. I did everything the right way. I did it. This is who I am.
Right.
I love doing this.
Right.
And then it took another 10 years beyond that point to actually turn it around and understand what my purpose was.
Right.
And once I found out what my purpose really designed my purpose, because you have to design your purpose in a way. You know, you may have that innate quality, but you have to almost create what your focus is,
so
what
true.
The travel is, what your journey is. And it's funny. People always talk about synergy and, more importantly, what do you call it? Destiny.
Yeah.
And for me, there is destiny, but destiny is a purpose-driven way of getting there. And if you create and you open yourselves up, a lot of the times people do have blinders, and they don't see all the ancillary things happening just out of eyesight. If you start to take a step back and look at all the things around you, you're going to find that you can get to where you want to go 50 million different ways.
Yeah.
And that is the same thing with how we live our lives. You can live the best life you want to live, and you can get there 50 million different ways.
So true. Well, and I think when we come out of college, or we come out of drama school, or whatever it is we come out of, and we have all our creative tools, we think, okay, now it's just going to happen like this. And the truth is that, like, you can be the best brownie maker in the world. Doesn't mean you know how you're going to market your brownies.
Absolutely.
It takes us sometimes, each one of us, our own way to figure out, okay, how am I going to take the gifts that I was given by the universe and put them in the right package where I can do the most good with them.
Mm.
And sometimes we have to go through a bunch of different things. And the same thing with me. When I was working, you know, for a very successful corporate radio station and making good money, and everybody thought I was living the dream, and I was as completely spiritually unfulfilled as anybody can be. Now, I didn't quit, and I didn't throw a fit, and I kept working, because I believe that continuing to show up sends the right signature to the universe. But I kept thinking, like, wow, is that all there is?
Yeah.
I mean, this is it? Because am I going to spend the rest of my life talking about boxers versus briefs, or car sex versus, you know, park sex? And I mean, that was fun for, like, you know, the first couple years. But
yeah.
Wow, 7 years into it.
Yeah.
And I thought, is this what radio is, that you just sit and throw the same inane topic out and people just call up with the same answers? And I kept trying to find ways to make it new, and I kept trying to, like, slip in little bits of wisdom and spirituality wherever I could, and then I'd get nailed for it. And so I really, for a while, kind of lost hope with it and thought, well, maybe this is just not where I belong. And then and went behind the scenes in music and started fostering musicians, and I thought, you know, this isn't as glamorous, but it feels better to be helping people on their creative journey.
Mm.
And sometimes then I found a way where I could do this and do that. And it's like you have with Anthus. It's finding a way to use everything you're good at in a way that you're really doing good, and you still feel like your soul is eating on a regular basis.
Absolutely. You know, last year was probably the hardest year of our lives. We put everything we had in. We literally almost lost everything, because everything we had is not just into a dream, it's into a dream that facilitates a million other dreams.
Sure.
And it's a
and
lot
that's
of,
expensive.
And it's very expensive, and it's a lot of weight. And my wife and I were just talking about this, about, you know, literally on New Year's Eve, like, we went to bed at like 8:30. We fell asleep, we're done. This has been the most exhausting year of our life. That morning on, the last 7 days of our lives have been, I mean, not to use a spiritual term, it's been miraculous. I don't know what happened.
Right.
And I talk about the concept of being a magnet. It's kind of scary. Be careful what you wish for.
Right.
Because when you truly start magnetizing things towards you, people, opportunities,
sure,
when they come, they come.
Absolutely.
We know we're on the right path. We have been reaffirmed by every possible pointer in the universe. And now it feels good. It feels right. It feels whole. And our journey is just beginning. And I think people misunderstand when they say, oh, well, I'm on my journey. You are, but your journey goes in stages. As you evolve, your journey evolves.
Right.
And for us, it's really interesting. And what's exciting for me is that it's not just my journey. This gets to be the journey for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
This gets to be a journey that, as we build this machine, this mechanism, it's really tools for living life. It's how do you live your life?
Right.
And you know, and it's really finding your you.
Right.
And when you find that, what do you do with it?
But isn't that beautiful? I mean, you kind of found your you, and then I kind of found my you at the same time, even though we didn't know about each other. And then we're devoting ourselves to getting messages out, to connecting with other people and facilitating them to get their messages out. Then people who are listening, watching, reading may get those messages and find their better you because of it. And that's the beautiful thing about the connection of the earth. Is that the good messages ping pong from one to the next and just keeps healing. It's like messages in a bottle.
There is a larger energy at play.
Yes.
And we have, again, we live in such a micro universe. We truly do. We look at electricity that travels through the walls and wires to your outlets and plugs and sockets and think, that is how energy travels. You know,
it's
I'm
amazing.
Sorry. There's a macro energy that actually ties our solar system to the galaxy.
Right.
And it's proven. There are much larger frequencies of energy. So there's energy that permeates travels, bounces,
sure,
that we've never even been able to see, touch, smell, or hear.
Absolutely.
Yet it exists, and it migrates between our brains, our bodies, our organs. And once we just let that go and understand we are vibrational. You know, we're vibrational human beings. The reason we stay together, anybody who understands molecular science, molecules vibrate.
Yeah.
They vibrate and they stick together and they create, you know, covalent bonds and all these other things. Human beings, the only reason we are sticking together and hold up is electromagnetic energy.
Right.
There's energy that holds us together.
Well, I think people forget that every organic thing has an electrical system.
Absolutely.
I mean, we have it, and they haven't really even begun to figure out how ours works. It's kind of the last. They know a lot about how we work chemically, and they know a lot about how we work mechanically, but they haven't really figured out our electrical system that much. And I think it's because when they do, we will have a better understanding of spirit and soul, because I think your electrical system helps to fuel your spirit and your soul.
I couldn't agree more. It is. It's our igniter plate. You know,
right.
we are burning fuel constantly, and the more we understand that, and the more we need to take care of ourselves, especially in a wellness capacity.
Sure.
I do it. I mean, I've done it. I'm guilty
too.
Of this.
Yeah.
I hurt myself because I work so hard, or we do something,
right,
and we omit the most basic function, which is sustenance. With food is the worst. It's our worst enemy right now, but it shouldn't be. It should be our friend. It should be our cause. And we've talked with companies like Dole Foods and other partners that really want to find ways to facilitate people and to make people's lives whole with real food, vegetables, fruits, you know, things like that. God forbid we should eat what was given to us from the earth.
But I'll tell you, I went through a kind of a major health crisis in the summer and thankfully got through it. And it really reworked the way that I fuel myself. And when you really learn what's good for you and what's not, and not what we think is good for us and what's not, you realize that you can eat just as inexpensively. You can eat just as healthily. It's not, you don't have to spend a ton of money. People are actually spending more money buying frozen dinners and going and getting cheapy food. It's actually more expensive than just go to the grocery store and get, you know, a piece of chicken and some vegetables. And it is important that you fuel yourself. So that's very much become a priority for me. I used to be one of those people that, oh yeah, I forgot to eat for 2 days, and I don't do that anymore.
Well, people get freaked out. Like places like Trader Joe's, for instance. People go, and we were just talking about this earlier, that when people go into Trader Joe's and who haven't been there before or barely, they go, there's no food there. And you go, what do you mean?
What? It's all food.
Well, there's nothing that I would buy. It's like, well, why? Because it doesn't have Tony the Tiger on the box? It doesn't. I mean, we have
there's
become.
Not a toucan?
You got it. We have become so imprinted by media.
Right.
And it's been since the 50s on. I mean, probably since the 30s on. And I'm guilty because I wanted to be a part of that world.
Right.
But when I actually really got into Hollywood and I started understanding the Mountain Dew fuels shows.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, whoa, you. And with our child obesity rate now at what, 30 something? Something percent.
Right.
I mean, there is something seriously wrong. But the studios and the networks, they can't shift. It's like the Titanic going down. If they were to shift, they lose McDonald's, they lose Walmart, they lose all these Burger Kings and Coca-Cola. And yet we were able to be nimble, that we only accept the companies that are actually doing well, not only by people, but by their company. And that changes how a business appears, and it becomes more organic in nature.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And it's so silly, because if you go into a Trader Joe's and you can find everything that you, every cereal that you like, you can find a healthy version of it.
Absolutely.
It doesn't have a toucan on it.
It might have a bland brown box because they're saving money on print and not using a bunch of toxic chemicals ink, you know?
A less flashy Mina bird. But you can probably still
get the parrot kind.
Some loops to eat. You know, and if you need to put sugar on them when you get home, then you can certainly do that.
Absolutely.
I think we're kind of stuck in that idea of, and especially with weight loss, you know, I know you know that I've lost 195 pounds in almost 2 years. April, first week of April will be 2 years. And, you know, when you've been fat your whole life, as I have, you're fed all this idea of buy this diet product, eat this diet candy bar, eat this. Basically, it's like eat more chemicals,
That's
but
right.
these chemicals have less calories. You're still poisoning your body with chemicals.
It's even worse than the other stuff.
Yeah. How about eat, an avocado or an olive or something that like really grew for real?
Well, it's scary because actually the disinformation on broadcast television is rampant. Like for instance, the corn industry and the U.S. government have these ads going out right now, which talk about the body doesn't know a difference between corn sugar and cane sugar.
Right.
Well, it's kind of true, but we're not talking about corn sugar. We're talking about high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
So they mislead the public by talking about corn sugar,
right,
which is a straight derivative of corn, as opposed to high fructose corn syrup, a processed sugar.
Right.
And which is horrible for the human body. The body does not, not only does not know how to process it, starts storing it in fat and in muscle tissue, and people don't know this. It's like what is a partially hydrogenated oil?
Right.
What is it? Do people actually know?
Well, what about, you were talking about Mountain Dew yesterday. Yesterday I had a lovely talk after my show with my wonderful guest that was on yesterday with me about how she discovered through getting violently ill when having Hawaiian Punch that some of these companies, like Mountain Dew, there's wood rosin in the soda.
Mm.
And there's a list, if you go online, uh-huh, of like 30 different sodas, energy drinks, and they're full of wood rosin, which is basically a syrup that comes from a pine tree stump. So I don't know about you, but now I'm thinking about how much wood rosin did I digest as a child?
Well, and if you add all the red dye, 4s, 5s,
60s, right,
right. And once people stop and read, what is an artificial flavor? These are chemicals that they have spent the last 50 years combining and chasing and testing and tasting. These aren't natural extracts. These are chemicals. These are polyhydrates and other things that they put together, and they you're digesting this.
I mean, if you want to drink something red, get some strawberries and throw it in a juicer. I mean, get a raspberry, get cherries, get a grape.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of natural red foods. Mm. Go and find one and eat one.
Dark red foods,
pomegranate.
The tannins in reds are so good for you.
Right.
They're a great antioxidant.
Right. I mean, honestly, but once you start thinking like that, and I'm not saying everybody needs to go nuts and never go to a fast food place again, or, you know, never eat anything that fried ever again, or never get a frozen dinner again. It's not about ever, ever, ever. It's about the amount of time that we spend trying to facilitate our lives with this idea of, I'll just get this, eat this from a box, eat this from a can. And we're sort of spiritually shorting ourselves from food by not eating things that make us feel good, and then we wonder why we don't feel good all the time.
Absolutely. And the thing is media misses this. They think they have to keep shoving Coca-Cola and Sprite and stuff down our throats,
right?
You know, and unfortunately, they don't. They can make so much more money by having a healthier audience, because that healthy audience is going to be around a lot longer.
Right.
I mean, granted, you won't have the bariatric surgery companies and all these other people, like the lap band groups and everything else, because they're now feeding off of this weight epidemic.
Sure.
And we're all part of that cause. You
right.
can't point fingers, because we've all been a part of this evolution in food.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, it's not a natural evolution. It's an unnatural evolution in
right.
the food cycle. And now we have an opportunity with the media, with technology, with the internet, to kind of set it straight before it's too late.
Right. I agree. And not only, you know, with food, we're just using that as an example, but also with, you know, with emotionality and with spiritual things, with education and culturalizing yourself, and just things that make you feel good in all different respects, you know, growing your mind.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it kind of freaks me out. We're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come back and talk about this, Charles, about how it kind of freaks me out that a lot of television, radio, films are not encouraging you to grow your mind at all.
Absolutely.
And there's so much out there where you can, you just have to find it. It's the Sheena Metal Experience, LA Talk Radio. Quick break, and we're right back with you with much more radio fun.
Discovering
Sheena Metal.
Continue to consider the source.
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Hi friend, this is Renee Barnett for Night Vision Radio. In my work in television and film production, we use night vision photography to illuminate what's hidden in the dark. And that's what we try to do at Night Vision Radio. We shine a light on the secret, the strange, and the unusual. On NVR, you'll hear from the experts and the experiencers who'll help us understand and expose these strange and sometimes dark subjects. Please join me right here Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific Time for Night Vision Radio. And check us out on nightvisionproductions.com. Real people, real stories, firsthand. Night Vision Radio.
Sandra Pillar's new album is Days Like These, featuring the hits I Cross That Bridge, the title track, and Fixin' to Fall.
Fixin' to Fall.
Sandra Pillar has 12 heartfelt songs on Days Like These, her third album. Don't miss Sandra Pillar's Days Like These from Shady Hill Records. You can find it now on iTunes and Amazon. Enjoy Days Like These from Sandra Pillar. Every Thursday night, Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville. LA Talk Radio's Sheena Metal presents Carneyville at the Other Door Bar in NoHo. Great live bands, carny games, circus performers, food trucks, full bar, drink specials, and a whole big party with guys, gals, and great live bands on stage at the Other Door, the nightclub in NoHo. The Other Door is at 10437 Burbank Boulevard, just east of Cahuenga. Carneyville starts at 8 p.m. Cover is just $5. Sheena Metal hosts Carneyville every Thursday night at the Other Door Bar in NoHo.
I'm glad that you don't know.
Scott Joss and Doug Colosio, two members of Merle Haggard's band, have released their first album called A Couple of Strangers.
Yeah, my voodoo woman's calling out to me.
Scott Joss and Doug Colosio on iTunes from Colosio Publishing.
So don't bother knocking, come on in, the party's rocking, I wonder if I do.
Marino Da Silva, one of the greatest guitarists of our time. Satisfaction from Voodoo Charm, the album, on iTunes now. Discover the magic at marinorocks.com. Welcome to his rock and roll universe.
I can't get no satisfaction.
You've just found the home of irreverent, entertaining, and cool talk on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. You're listening to The Sheena Metal Experience with your host, Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's the Sheena Metal Experience right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, latalkradio.com and sheenametalexperience.com. Don't forget to email me and let me know what you think of the show. The wonderful Charles Adelman from the Anthus Channel joins us all this hour, and we're talking about really everything under the sun, but mostly about your intention as a person on the earth and how you use it to sort of live your life. And it doesn't mean you can't still have fun and be edgy and, you know, do crazy things. And it's a whole different thing. I think that people think that there's like an intense behavior modification that comes with it. I can no longer have a hamburger, or I can no longer buy a piece of clothing if it has dye in it. You know, it's not about that. It's about your spirit. It's about doing things for the world. It's about the intention you come to with everything. It doesn't mean you can never say the F-bomb again or get angry again. I mean, those are all superficial things comparatively.
Oh, I need to work on my F-bombs, let me tell you. I grew up in this industry, so it is every other word.
I'll tell you, 17 years in radio, I have conditioned myself so well that in my real life, I swear less now. I didn't mean it that way. It just, I'm so used to it.
Well, if you've ever spent time around a film set, I think every third word
it'll come
is
back.
FRS.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Right. It'll come back. Don't worry. It's like riding a bike.
Okay, good. I did a play this fall, and I noticed a lot of it came back then.
Did you
I'm
really?
Like, oh, I'm around actors again. Oh, yeah.
This is a common language.
Right. Now it's back. But that has not, you know, that kind of stuff has nothing to do with the quality of your character.
Absolutely.
It's all superficial stuff.
Absolutely.
It's not if you play a video game where you're killing zombies. It's about how you live your life every day and how you treat the people and the animals and things around you.
And you know what? We're trying to capture that not only for our network, but it's interesting. We're really trying to approach this through the social cause space, but also advertisers.
Right.
Because we're trying to find companies that believe not just in their product, but in the people who purchase their products. And
beautiful.
that has become such an important manifesto for how we're
so
moving forward that, you know, it's interesting. Like I was talking about Reactor watches earlier, and it was kind of fun because we're testing out stuff with Weigh In, this new company, and trying to see what people's real time responses are. And Ted, who has been working with Reactor watches and interfacing with us, we were driving over here and I said, you know what, if we could do a weigh in with you guys, what question would you like to ask? And I kept throwing out time this and time that. And he threw out the most interesting thing, and I'll do it right now. And I would love people to go to weighin.com/Anthus and answer this, because I really, even myself, I had to stop and think about this. And it is, how many times a day do you use your watch to measure moments instead of time? You know, when you actually stop and think about, wow, you know, how many times do we do that? It's how many times do you actually stop, assess, and take a snapshot of your life? And it's such an important important missing factor, because I'm guilty of this. I, and everybody who knows me knows I move at the speed of light and I talk
right.
even faster.
It's good. I like that.
And unfortunately, I do miss out on things because I'm too busy building an empire.
Sure.
And you miss out. And I've had to take a step back and find myself through my wife and my son and our family and really assess not just who is around me, but why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And when you can say, I know exactly why I'm doing this, then you know you're on the right path.
Well, and also I was just talking to my last guest in the last hour about this, about how the last 3 or 4 years for me has been, because I found that it's been such a transformation as far as how I connect with humans. Because I found that for many years in entertainment, always driving towards the next project, doing a lot of time in radio, sitting in a box, talking to myself, that I didn't spend a lot of time really connecting with people. Yes, through work, not so much time outside of work. And when I came here 3 years ago and I started meeting all kinds of new people, I thought, you know, this is my opportunity, that when people make a connection, like we should go to coffee, to follow up on it and really do it. Because you're not, it's not only about building your empire, it's also about building your tribe and your soul pod.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that you connect with that are going to go on this journey for the rest of your life here. And it's very, very important to have those connections. And through really pursuing that, and mostly just following up on other people pursuing it, I have made so many amazing friends in the last 3 years. And the kind of friends that you make, sometimes it changes the quality of your life.
Well, you have a gift of resonance.
You
truly do. You when you speak to people, you speak to them instead of at them. And a lot of radio people speak at people. They yell at people. They talk at people. And it's a huge difference between connecting and interconnecting.
Right.
And I think you facilitate both. And I think you do it beautifully.
Thank you.
And that's rare. And when we were fortunate enough to have a very close mutual friend, Deborah Wilson.
Absolutely.
Which is where we met at dinner. And
oh,
Deborah, we love Deborah.
Deborah's awesome.
Deborah from Mad TV, if you know who she is,
yeah.
is a lightning rod. And this woman is just an electric soul. And trust me, I mean, she is everything.
She's amazing.
And it's nice for us to have been able to have that mutual, you know,
yes.
respect and relationship, because that kind of pushed us together.
Right.
To not pushed, it magnetized us together.
It really
together.
Did. Right.
And Rashid and all these amazing people who have, I'm now interconnected with everybody we had dinner with that night. We're doing something with.
That's
every
wonderful.
Single person at that dinner table that
That's
night
wonderful.
With Rashid and Dorit and all these different people, we now have them helping to support us because we're supporting what they're doing.
That's wonderful.
And
that's so important, and I'm so glad that we connected in that way. And the nice thing about somebody like Deborah is that, first of all, you know, if she connects two people, she's putting her endorsement behind both. And that's half the battle right there. And also that whenever she meets somebody that she thinks is going to resonate well with me, and it's not always like a have them on your show thing. Sometimes it's just a friend thing. She'll say, I met somebody today and their energy feels like yours, and we need to have coffee so I can hook you up. I mean, that's really being a citizen of the world.
And she is a citizen of the universe.
She absolutely
I mean, she is interconnected,
yeah.
interwoven, energetically. Yeah. You know, she is as rare as they come.
She's like a ball of light that just barely has a little organic material on
it. That is so true.
There's only like one baby toe in the three-dimensional world, and the rest of her
so
is just
true.
You know, someday I just expect she's going to like rip out of her skin, and she's just going to be a huge
combust.
Light being that's like 20 feet high. And
yes.
I'm like, oh,
yes.
okay.
And anybody who's spent time with her knows
yep.
that's exactly her.
So true. But that's right, because I made the connection and followed up to become friends with Deborah.
Yeah.
And then I became friends with you.
Yeah.
And that's so important that we don't get so busy running our empires.
Well, and you've said it, we need each other right now.
Absolutely.
I mean people in our industry, and we people who have been in this industry for as long as we have, we know that it can just rip you apart.
Right.
It can destroy you. It'll take your soul as quickly as you can find it. And, you know, for us, we need grounding, but more importantly, we need to create that interwoven connectedness, because Hollywood's not going to do it. It doesn't understand
right.
what the reality is. It's non-reality. Hollywood thrives and breathes on fake Hollywood, on acting, and there's some amazing people in Hollywood. I mean, there's the Tom Hanks of the world and everybody else, which are just phenomenal people.
Right.
But there's also this, it's almost like the dark demon that claws at every second. When something good happens, there's a bunch of other things that surround it and try to pull it down.
Right. Well, and when you were talking about Hollywood being so, you know, when you got out of college and you were starting to pitch films and having meetings, and it was such kind of a scary place. And I remember feeling like that about it. And now I think I only see the beautiful. And
yeah.
I think it's because this town being really ugly or being really beautiful depends on you having the right tribe. If you have the right tribe, you see the beauty in it. Mm. If you have the wrong tribe, you see the ugliness in it. And people will say to me, this is such a lonely town, or it's so impossible to make a friend here. And I feel like I just have so much love in my life. And I don't think it's this town. I think it's the way that you approach this town.
Absolutely.
And the kind of people you go looking for.
Hollywood, LA is a living, breathing thing. Unlike
yeah,
any other
is.
Place
it's
I've ever
lot.
Been on the face of the planet. And, and when I come home to LA, I'm home. There's just no other feeling
right.
like it. I know
I
people say
way.
I have home, but you fly into one of the biggest cities in the world and you're flying over and you can't see the end of it yet. It's like a big blanket, you know. Ah, I mean, when my wife and I came back from Canada last week, we literally kissed the ground at the airport. We're home. Thank
yeah.
you. Yes. You know, and right. there's an innate beauty to the chaos.
Yeah.
And that is what inspires me in this town. As much as I'm anti-Hollywood, I'm also for Hollywood, but for the Hollywood that I believe in.
I'm the same way.
And we can do that. And yes, we're going to create a lot of enemies in this town by doing it, but I think there's more friends that believe in it, and there's some great people at the studios that believe in that too.
I do too.
And if we can bring them together with us, with this motion, with what we're doing with Anthos and what we're doing with Edelman Enterprises, I think there's a whole different way that we're going to reinvent this town. And there's a renaissance, and it is happening now.
It's definitely happening. I think it started happening really 20 years ago
Absolutely.
When the indie film movement started.
And then it got killed.
You know,
5 years ago when all the shingles, when Warner Independent, everybody started closing everything and Miramax got all jumbled up. And
right.
you have to stop and go, there's no independent movie industry anymore. It's gone. I mean, I've had Anthem Pictures for 10 years, and that's barely even surviving because home video's gone for independence. It's gone.
Yet people are still making independent films.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like when the Grinch came and took everything, even the last pee, but they all got up in the morning in Whoville and sang.
That's right.
You know, you can take all the funding away, but you can't take away people's hearts, and they're going to keep making films anyhow. And now it's web series, and it's independent music, and it's, you know, it's internet radio. You can't take away people's souls. We're just going to keep making art, even if we all go to hell in a handbasket and are completely broke.
This town attracted the mayors and everybody of back in the day,
yeah.
you know, the chaplains who felt that there was something different here. I don't know if it was the Indians before us. I don't know.
I think it's the energy that
Absolutely.
Sits in this ground.
I
really do.
There is a resonance here that is unlike anything on the face of the
uh-huh.
planet. And it's kind of weird because it almost sparks certain creativity that I've been a million other places and tried to write other places.
I agree.
It permeates. It does. And if it's held properly and it's harnessed properly,
right.
we can turn this town around.
Yeah.
We can turn this economy around. We can turn this world around.
I agree. You are amazing. Will you come back and see me again? I would love
it. Whenever you want.
Awesome. And where's the best place people can find about you
and
Anthos online?
You can go to anthos.com, ANTHUS.com. Join the community. Join the movement. And also, if you want to weigh in on any of the subjects we talked about tonight, you could go to weighin, WAYIN.com/Anthos.
Wonderful. And if you missed any of those links for the wonderful Charles Edelman or the Anthos channel, just go to SheenaMetalExperience.com or LATalkRadio.com. Send me an email and I'll gladly forward those links over to you. It's the Sheena Metal Experience on LA Talk Radio, and you know what we do here, people. Every Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we rip the veil off the human sideshow and expose the creatures I like to call big old Homo sapiens at their most bizarre and always at their most beautiful. And it's true every day on the show. Maybe my show, it is the Sheena Metal Experience after all. That doesn't mean it's not always and forever, undoubtedly and indubitably. And you know what I'm going to say, people. It may be my show, but it is definitely your experience. Thanks for listening. Have a great night. Happy Friday. Have a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you all on Monday.
You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.